family. How are you today? This is Brother Mel Frio at the Information Center. I'm glad that you could join me. We have a wonderful guest tonight, Brother Yusiki Obe. Brother Kameta Ube. He will be rejoining us for part two of Law Procedures. So I'll just give a brief little astrological as to what's transpiring in the universe. This year is a powerful year because it unifies the feminine and the masculine energies. It's integrating the lunar feminine and the solar masculine. And the union can raise insight into how to navigate your limits and your seeking balance and your action and your acceptability, your focus and your spaciousness. And it's joined with relaxed beingness, a connection between our conscious and our subconscious, an internal marriage, a conviction and a submission to all the forces that are transpiring in the universe today. Coming from the lunar calendar today, the energy that is rising is the red resident Skywalker, and that's guided by fourth. And the tone of that energy today is the seventh tone. And that seventh tone energy has its uniqueness in relation to the one and the 13. It's in the beginning of the, it's in the middle of the alpha and the omega energy. It resonates with harmony. And the vibration and light frequency states which are evoked by that vibration, by assessing team perception and energies and vibrations, we can be most selective as well as surrounded with ourselves with new energy. The mystic power, the strength of that number is our personal attunement to that number. When we encounter the seventh chamber, resonance and parts vibration increase, resonance structure, which is felt and perceived on many levels. Acknowledging the frequencies that it has received on, that you are surfing in those vibrations at any given moment, will exercise your ability to assist others vibrationally, as to how you react vibrationally, allow inspiration to move through you. It's a sacred corridor. So be directed. Follow the frequencies that serve you. Allow yourself to be a tuned vessel and move forward. We've moved into the Taurian month, to the Taurian energy, the energy of the bull. It's associated with strength. It's associated with finance. It's associated with moving forward. It governs the neck element. So usually people with strong, you see with thick necks usually, they're usually Taurian energy. And just by being a Taurian, it gives you, you have power. But Taurus can be a bullheaded or stubborn energy. To keep things neutral, do not come up against hard obstacles. Bend like the wind, and you will, a Taurus will receive more of what they're after. Tree will break in a strong wind. So today the energies of the moon is in Sagittarius, and the energies that are flowing are Uranus and Jupiter. Uranus is an energy, it's a good time to utilize the energy of beginning experiments and inventions, new ideas, travel. That is about a good things. The Jupiter energy is, in that matter, you better take care of your money. It's good to start new businesses. Good time to start new speculating. Good time to start new expansions. Tori and Mark, we have two Black Box Days. The Black Box Days is the 18th and the 25th. The 18th is also when Mercury turns retrograde. So Mercury deals with our communication. It deals with our finances, our learning. And by it being a Black Box Day, the energies, they're talking to each other, and they're in more in a negative aspect. So it's a good time to just try and not sign any contract, not do anything that you would regret. Don't buy a house on that day, because if you go to move it or sell it, or you'll come up against opposition whenever you do things on a Black Box Day. A Black Box Day is a day for planning. The planetary energies aren't conducive to each other. So watch those days. Family moves forward. I'm not going to take much of the guest's time, because he gives out a strong show. I'll give you a little bio on him. His name is Kemeke Ube. He has 30 years of study in etymology. And he's been teaching it for 20 years. He has a discipline in law and equity and in health. And he's been teaching the law and equity 20 years by way of a paralegal. And he's taught at Temple University. He's been on plenty of Blog Talk radio shows. He's was on radio shows at colleges, WVOX. In Rochester, New York. He's a very experienced brother. His name is Kemeke Ube. Brother Kemeke Ube, are you there? Brother Kemeke Ube?
Something like this. I will keep going in the first. Oh, my.
Brother Kemeke Ube, can you hear me?
Brother in the garden. The goddess is your heavenly mother, for in her is everlasting breath.
Brother, commit to you back.
Before the day was, I am.
Hello, can you hear me?
And there is no God.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you, brother.
Yes, brother. I was in the queue the whole time. I for some reason, must have had some technical difficulties.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back. I'm glad that you decided to do a second show for us, to give us the second half of that the law procedure and law. So many of us are going through difficulties with that, and we need some insight. So. Go ahead, brother, if there's something that you want to say. We left off with last time at child support issues.
Yes,
so
yes,
wherever you want to begin is all right with me.
Yes, we did. I just want to make a correction. WVOX is in New Rochelle, New York, not Rochester. It's in New Rochelle, New York. I've been on that radio station, for quite a few years, showing my support, with the knowledge and information. And the brothers and sisters out there who are listening, it's so important that you have a Black's Law Dictionary with you. Someone asked me what edition to get. I'll say get all of them, all right? Because some dictionaries in Black's Law information and the others don't. So you need to get them all if you can. And if you want to get one, mostly standard, would be the sixth edition. The sixth edition would be the standard one that you should get, but I recommend that you get them all. When you look up a word called civilian, it means one who's skilled or versed in law, which I think is very important for us to know, because that's something that we should have gotten in school, is to be versed or skilled in law. On every grade level, we should have at least some paralegal skills to be able to draft up our pleadings, because that's one of the most difficult things we are having today is when we are having legal issues, be it family court, criminal court, bankruptcy court, civil court, traffic court, whatever court that's out there. One of the issues that we have is knowing how to draft up a pleading or some type of defense, even an affidavit in opposition to whatever issues that may come at you. These things are very, very important because, again, this is the second part of comprehending the court procedure, because there's a procedure that's in court that most of us unfortunately don't know about. All right, there's rules of the court, which whatever state you're in, you need to check out the rules of the court. All right, because there's times where we're not getting the relief that we seeking to get because we don't know the rules of the court. Another thing too, you need to know the statutes. All right, because the statutes is where you will see your remedy or your relief. All right, you have to know what jurisdiction you're operating within. Is it going to be based upon law or is it going to be based upon equity? So that's something else you need to know, which is very important. All right, very important to know these things. You also need to be aware of the state constitution. So whatever state you are actually domiciled at, you should get the state constitution. If it's in PA, pull up PA constitution. If it's Ohio or Illinois or Florida or California or Georgia, wherever state you're in, New Jersey, you need to pull up that state's constitution and start to read it. And you need to recognize exactly what is being said in there. All right? Because one thing that we have to do is start to try to get ourselves orientated and familiarized, all right, with the state constitution. And also you should be pulling up the federal constitution, the national constitution. Very important to read these documents so you can give you an idea of what's going on. I'm doing a case right now to give you an idea of where I'm coming from. For a brother down there in Alabama, unfortunately, he got jumped by police officers and beat down by sheriffs while he was in the county jail. And, of course, I'm helping him with his case. He had to amend the case, and I had to amend the case for him. And again, there's some statutes that we had to implicate in there, and also there were some Bill of Rights that we had to also inserted in there also, you know, because of the uncruel, unusual punishment that he received. It's a common law action, which is, of course, under Article 7 or Amendment 7, as they call it. All right. The Fourth and Fifth Amendment is definitely involved. All right. And, of course, the 14th Amendment, because they were acting under color of state law, enforcing these codes and customs and usage an ordinance over and above the people, all right? So they are subject. The 14th Amendment is to subjugate these state actors because it keeps them from allegedly infringing upon you, because they do this all the time. You can see what's going on in different states where our brothers and sisters are being violated and beat down and murdered by, of course, the law enforcement order, you know, that constantly keep on top of our brothers and sisters because of the prejudice and the racism that's still going on today's society. But again, we have to get ourselves familiar with these statutes, these rules, regulations, knowing the different pleadings, the different strategies of the pleadings. Very, very important to know these things. You can visit your law library, you know, 9, 10, and 10. You can find them up in the courthouse, you know, be it state court or federal court, go to the law library and try to get yourself familiar with the forms and the statutes and the procedures. You know, it's there. It's all there. The information is there. A lot of us are not aware of it, but I think it's very important that I say this tonight so people can get an idea where to go, because that's one of the biggest problems we have, Brother Mel, is that some of us just don't know where to go, where to reference this information, where we can get relief, you know, how we can get back, you know what I'm saying, and prevail, you know, effectively, you know, because we're being subjugated, and 9 to 10, why it's happening is because of us not knowing. All right. So I think it's very important that we have to reference this information, orientate ourselves in this information. And also we need to have classes on this information because we need to get some strong support. All right. So when we have cases like family court, for example, all right, there's people who have an issue concerning child support. That's what we left off the last show that we had. And the child support issue, it's a draconian type of system that's been set up against the men, particularly more so than the women. The women's are victimized to that fact also, but mostly it's the men. And the reason why, because when you look in the Family Court Act or whatever act they have under family law in whatever state you're in, they have what you call is the paternity, all right? They want to establish the paternity against the men, all right? And the brothers need to know that this whole infrastructure of the family court or the family law or the Family Court Act, all right, was to attack us, all right? This is another way to disenfranchise us and attack us, all right? One must need to know that ever since you have been working at the age of an adolescent, some states varies, some states says 14, some states say 16. The reason why I'm making mention of that, because when you look at your pay stub, you'll notice that they take out, you know, at least four different types of tax that's all related to public welfare, which is under Title 42 of the United States Code. They take out what you call as FICA, which is the Federal Insurance Contribution Act, all right, because you do make your contributions. They take out the state tax. They take out the Social Security tax. And they take out also, of course, what we know as the Medicaid tax, all right? And these four contributions that is being made out of your check every week or every other week, depending on how your payday falls, there are some quote-unquote deductions being made, all right? And you will come to find out that under Title 4, the Roman numeral 4, letter capital D, of the Social Security Act is where you're going to find the issues concerning child support. And that same particular act is what created the child support enforcement agencies who are collecting and enforcing child support, all right, which is really technically draconian because you already are making your contribution towards child support ever since you was a child. You was paying child support, and I think that's very important. They got this particular thing that they use against the male or the father of the household, who's an absentee parent is what they call that, or a non-custodial parent, or one who may be in the arrears, all right? They use these different legal jargons to be able to use that as a way to come back at you because you have, of course, have not met your obligation, as they say, all right? And there's ways that you can deal with it. There's remedies that you can deal with it, all right? One of the remedies that you need to know is to get a certified audit of your Social Security account. Social Security have upped their fees tremendously because when I first started to do an audit on my own personal account going back in 1997, they would give you a chart based upon the year. You have gone back, and they would have a fee right next to it to do the audit. It's an audit fee, plus there was a certification fee when you want to get the document or the audit certified. And, of course, I paid at that time, I think it was about $60 or $65. Now it's $190. These people are getting hip to what's going on because anytime we are trying to get relief for our brothers out there and the sisters, because sisters are also being subjugated to it, just besides the brothers, mostly the brothers than the sisters, but nonetheless, the information is for both parties. We are again under attack, and the information pertaining to this audit shows you that you're not in the arrears, because if you've been paying into the Social Security system under Title 4D of the Social Security Act, which is what you call child support, all right, you've been paying child support ever since you was an adolescent, all right? So when you get this certified audit of your account, you'll come to learn that you've been paying into it for, who knows, 10, 15, 20 years, depending on how many years you've been putting in as your contributions. I think that's very important. And the reason why it's very, very important to have that is because that kills the fact that there could never be no arrears, all right? So you're already making child support payments. Everybody's making child support payments, all right? Everybody, women, men, young adults, you know, are paying into the child support system. And it's not fair that people are not aware that as a whole, the public is paying into the public trust of child support through your contributions of your paycheck. And again, proof of that, again, is under Title 4D of the Social Security Act. You can check it out. Of course, everybody who are working and getting a deduction know that Social Security is being taken out of their check, which, of course, is being directed towards that particular trust for the children. So I do agree with supporting our children, all right? So I'm not in no way against child support. The system was set up to take care of our children, all right? What I'm against is the child support collection, and also I'm against the family court for enforcing something that is already coming out of your check automatically when they make these deductions under a W-4 form. And, of course, at the end of the year, you get a W-2 form to show you how much you have paid into the Social Security, Medicaid tax, FICA, and the state tax, which all goes into the Social Security welfare system. Very important that people know this information, all right, because we are being, persecuted and prosecuted, you know, concerning this draconian law that was set up against us. I did my due diligence. I want people to be aware also. I did my due diligence studies in the Family Court Act, and I came across information concerning Jews who were in concentration camps and, of course, Japanese out in California back in the 40s that was also put into concentration camps. And both these parties, both Jew and Japanese, are exempt from paying child support because they're receiving reparation. I think that's very important for us to be aware, because that's something that we always have been pushing about reparations for our people. And, of course, we are not getting that. But there are Japanese and Jews who have been placed into concentration camps who are exempt from paying child support. Why? Because of the fact that they're getting reparations and along with their families being taken care of. So I think that's very important, or equally important, to be aware of this information to be put out there, because a lot of our people is unaware of it, is unheard of. All right. I'm going to go back and find the section of it and make it known and put that information out there publicly, because our people need to be aware of this. You know, a lot of these civil rights leaders and whatever community activists that's out there is unaware of this information. And I think that this information needs to come to the forefront. All right, so I think that's important. All right. Brother Mel, I don't know if you have any questions.
Yes, I do, Brother Kometa Ube. You say it affects the woman, so the woman pays child support too?
Yes, brother. Women pay child support equally also. I have a couple of sisters who have come to me concerning a child support issue also, which seems to be unbelievable. But this is something that people need to be aware of. Under the doctrine of parent patria, under that doctrine, when you read that up in law, right? And matter of fact, I'm going to read that to you because I think it's important that people hear this, all right? And for those who are actually online, all right, please call up some people. Please call somebody and put them online to let them know that this information I'm putting out here is very, very important, all right? So I'm going to be reading something from the Black's Law Dictionary, 6th edition, and it's going to be Parent Betrayer. Very important, and I'll spell it for those who need to hear it. And Parent Betrayer, parents is P, like in Paul, A-R, like in Red, E-N, like in Nancy, S, parents, and Betrayer is P, like in Paul, A-T, like in Tom, R-I-E. And listen to the definition in Black's Law Dictionary. Everybody have to hear this. Parents Betrayer, literally, parent of the country, refers traditionally to a role of state as sovereign and guardian of persons under legal disabilities as a juvenile or the insane, and in child custody determinations when acting on behalf of the state to protect the interests of the child. It is the principle that the state must care for those who cannot take care of themselves, such as a minor, right? Such as a minor. Where we at? As a minor who lacks proper care and custody from their parents. So I had to read that, Brother Mel, because you asked me a question in reference to, do the mother or the woman of the child have to have a child support also? And this particular doctrine of Parent Betrayer, or the Parent Betrayer Act, right, goes back into 1970s. I believe it's 1975. I have to go back and look to be accurate, but it's back in the 70s. And they're holding both parents, all right? The state technically can take both the mother and father to court because remember now, Mel, the mother of the child did not realize that she gave the child up and the ward would be the hospital. So because the ward being the hospital, what did the mother did? She did what you call as a delivery, all right? And let's go again to the word delivery. Delivery, the act by which the res, and the word res is a Latin word meaning substance or thing. That's the reason why people don't need to be recognized as a resident, because a resident is a compound word, R-E-S, and then you have ident, I-D-E-N-T, all right, referring to being cognitive of or recognizing the object or the thing, which is the res. So you don't have a resident, because what they're doing is they're saying that you are the thing that they want to identify. This is the reason why you walk around with identification, all right, because they want to see your address, where you are, because you are the thing, which is the property that they want to classify you as. So these people are still practicing Jim Crowism against our people in a very subtle way, Brother Mel. So it says here, again, the act by which the res or substance thereof is placed within the actual or constructive possession or control of another. What constitutes delivery depends largely on the intent of the parties. It is not necessarily that delivery should be by manual transfer. Manual transfer means by hand, because most sisters will say, wait a minute, I didn't give my child up to the state. My child came on with me. Sister, it happened on paper. Once you begin to start to endorse your signature on a document that will allow the Register General to register your child in the Vital Statistics Department, it automatically makes the child state's children. And this is why Child Protective Services or DREFIS, you know, different states got different names for the agencies that comes in under the auspices of so-called protecting a child. But this is them taking the child away from you. And I would be the first one to tell you that nobody's child is supposed to be taken away from you. If they're talking about protecting a child because of a parent, quote unquote, is being abusive to a child, that agency is supposed to look for other family members to place that child in. But what they do is put the child up for adoption or foster care, all right? And something else that we need to be aware of, all right, is that your child technically is not supposed to be put up for adoption or put into foster care. Why? Because the child is not an orphan. The child is not an orphan, but the reason why they would make it appear that the child is an orphan is because once the parent have signed the child away, all right, to the state on paper, that's called an abandonment. So they do got laws against child abandonment. Every state has a penal law against child abandonment. So this is the reason why they can come in the house and take the children, and if they want to push the issue even stronger, they would actually arrest the mother or the father, or in general, the parent, all right? Because the artificial parent, the artificial father, all right, would be the attorney general of each state under the doctrine of parents patria. So when we go back to parent patria, all right, after reading delivery, if we're going back to parent patria, listen to what it says in parent patria. I want to continue to read in that area. All right, I want to stay focused on that area. Listen to what it says here. That it says that it is a principle that the state must care for those who cannot take care of themselves, such as minors who lack proper care and custody from their parents. It is a concept of standing utilized to protect those quasi-sovereign interests, such as health, yeah, comfort, and welfare. You see how they use the term welfare? Of the people, all right? Interstate, water rights, general economy of the state. Parents patria originates from England common law, where the king had royal prerogative to act as guardian to persons with legal disabilities, such as infants. In the United States, this is what we are dealing with right now, this corporation, the parents patria functions belongs to the states. State attorney generals have parent patria authority to bring actions on behalf of the state residents. All right, so this is very important to be aware of that. All right, Brother Mel, so when you make mention about the mother, I had to read that so you know that the attorney general can bring both the mother and the father in and hold them financially obligated against both parents.
So you're saying that because they signed the birth certificate, this is transpired?
Yes. What happens is the birth certificate, listen to this carefully. This is what some people need to be aware of. This is where etymology comes in. When it comes to financial jargon and when it comes to legal jargon, all right, the word certificate, when you begin to start getting what you call is the Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms. I say it again, Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms. This is by Barron's, all right, and this one has been put out by Dow Jones, all right, the same Dow Jones with the stock market, all right. Because when I get these books, brother, I make sure I get the right books for the correct information so that way I can get my people this information because they need to know this information, brother. That's why I really appreciate you, Mel, for bringing me back again for part two in reference to court procedure, because our people have to be empowered with this information because it's the only way we're going to get to our liberation, all right? And you know information is power. Knowledge is power, all right? So we're going to go to certificate. I want to read certificate. And what it says here for certificate, this is what it says here. Listen to what they say, certificate, all right? They got veritable meanings for certificate, all right? But I'm going to pick out the ones that I see that is very important for us to see. Listen to what they say. Formal declaration. So when you endorse that certificate, you're making a what? Formal declaration that can be used to document a fact such as a birth certificate. See that, brother? And this is in the Dictionary of Finance, brother. Who would ever think that this would be in the Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms, brother? So they're showing you that birth certificate, which is a bond, all right, that's being traded in the Wall Street stock market concerning Dow Jones. So, again, these people know what they're doing because this is not by accident. This is designed because the information that's in these books, they're in the law books, brother, right, and they're in the financial books, because when you go to Article 3 of the United States Constitution, right, Section 2, the judicial power should extend in all cases in what? Law and equity. All right, so you're going to find the birth certificate where? In law, and you're going to also find it where? And in equity. This is the jargon, brother. So this is something that people need to be aware, Brother Mel.
So by it being in equity, you said it's being traded on the open market, so it's a bond issue, a commercial issue?
Brother, let me read number two to answer your question. Number two to that definition for certificate, because now we know that it's a formal declaration that can be used to document a fact such as a birth certificate. But number two says bond certificate of indebtedness. Issued by a who? Corporation. So now, normally what happens is that when you want a copy of your birth certificate, right, normally you go down to the municipality, like the town hall or the town clerk, all right? That town hall or town clerk is a municipality. It's a municipal corporation, and this is exactly where they have it at, because that corporation is the one that's getting the equitable interest off that birth certificate, all right? Now, it's issued by a corporation, containing the terms of the issuer's promise to repay principal and pay interest, and describing collateral. So when they say they're describing collateral, what they're talking about? Your skin tone being, as they call it, black as a misnomer, your height, your weight, your date of birth, all right? They want to describe the product or the property. Like it's like a warehouse receipt. So they want to describe the product or the goods and services. This is what they're describing, brother.
Well, they have us under the assumption that the woman is the one who put the man on child support, and come to find out that now, from what I'm hearing, that it's a commercial agreement for their prosperity. So how would we not go about signing and getting birth certificates? Or certificates of any kind, for that matter.
Well, Noble, that's a very good question, and this is the reason why I love the Prophet, Noble Juwan Lee, because what the Prophet have done for us, right, he put us in the position where he set up the Moist Science Temple, because when you begin to start reading the one-on-one questionnaires, all right, it says, what is the purpose of the Moist Science Temple? To uplift fallen humanity, all right? The purpose of the temple is when you go there, brother, we're supposed to be getting what you call is baptismal certificates, all right? Because once we get baptism certificates, did you know that baptism certificate is more powerful than a birth certificate? And you'll come to find out in the Social Security Administration, that is a document that they accept. They accept the baptism certificate. So now, beautiful thing about the baptism certificate, because it's coming from the temple. It's not coming from the state, all right, which means it shows them that they have no jurisdiction. Now, I'm not saying people have to be subjugated to the Moorish Science Temple, but this is what the Moorish Science Temple was there. It was to help redeem our people from our sinful ways. The sinful ways that Prophet talking about is the fact that we have fell into indebtedness. Remember, listen to the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot of science in that. Forgive us for our debt, as we forgive our debtors. That's the sinful way. So remember now, I just read to you, bond certificate. Certificate of what? Indebtedness. Indebtedness. So if you got a birth certificate, these people are saying you are a debtor, and they put the debt on our children, and they use our labor as collateral. They use us as human capital and collateral. This is what these Europeans are doing to us, brother.
So the remedy for this, you're saying, is the baptismal certificate?
The baptismal certificate. I mean, listen to what I'm saying, brother. Anything, you can have even an affidavit, which means the mother and the father of the child can have an affidavit. All right, private affidavit, right, that they can create, a certificate that they can create and they can sign their name in red, the mother and the father, all right? And they can put their thumbprint and the baby's footprint on that same document. It can be bond paper, and that would be the document that would keep among the family, would never have to be in the public record, all right? It would never have to be in the public record. When women do go to the hospital and they bring forth their child, all right, because I'd rather not say birth, all right, technically, because birth can be spelled B-E-R-T-H as opposed to B-I-R-T-H, because that's what they're really talking about. They're talking about the E as opposed to the I, but they put the I on the birth certificate and not the E, because when you begin to start knowing the linguistic methodology called umlaut, which means you can exchange one vowel for the other, which we already learned in school to a degree, you can replace one for the other. So that's like a sleight of hand. So, but when you look up the word birth, B-E-R-T-H, you know it has something to do with admiralty, maritime. All right? So which is a commercial venue or vessel. This is exactly what this birth certificate operates at. It becomes a financial vehicle. It becomes a derivative in finance. They can use this and underwrite bonds on it and sell it on the Wall Street stock market. All right? Like, for instance, they got a section in here, which is under number 8, stock certificate, evidence of ownership of a corporation showing number of shares. Now, remember now, it's going back to the slave plantation, because we did what? Sharecropping. So the owner who owned us, those slave devil masters who had owned us, we was doing what? Sharecropping, all right? Because they had ownership of us and the crops and the land and our labor. So what these people have done is they sophisticated it, brother. They so sophisticated it so subtly to this day that we don't even recognize what's going on, Brother Mel.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I like that part that you said to establish a private affidavit. I can understand how that could work in the favor. But now that the majority of us have these certificates of these bonds of commercialization with these instruments, how do we get hold of them or relinquish them where they have no effect on us?
Well, listen to this, Snowball, and I'm going to share something with you that you're going to find very unique. And for those who are listening, please, you may want to take this down, because I'm going to give you something that you have never heard before. All right? I've heard in the past, like the present, people get rid of the birth certificate. And I would be the first one to say, you know, if they already have one, what you need to do is capture the birth certificate. That's what you need to do. You need to capture it. And how you capture the birth certificate is you capture it in the form of an estate or in the form of a trust. All right? That's one. Two, what you need to do, which most people who are aware, I'm only referring to those who are aware, but this information is also for those who are not aware that needs to be aware. That certificate number, there is a QSUP number. QSUP, which is spelled C-U-S-I-P, all right? And that QSUP number is assigned to that certificate or bond number. And when you look up the QSUP number, right, you can find what the birth certificate is generating on the market. But let me give you some clarity, because once this information was put out some years ago, a lot of people was running to the Fidelity website and abused the information, didn't know what to do with the information. So now they shut the site down as far as not having that access. So now you got to register on the site. You got to register on the site. But let me share something with you that you need to be aware of, because most people is not aware of this information, because unfortunately, those who was putting that information out was reckless. And you can't put out information recklessly, because like Noble Jawali said, he can't wake up all the more than one time. Why? Because they may wreck something. So when you got knowledge and information, all right, we have to be very scientific about it. We can't just take information and be reckless and rude with it. Let me share something with you that you need to know. The Q-sub has two levels to it. Because I've heard people say, oh, my birth certificate, I see that it's making billions and billions of dollars. Well, first of all, that's a pull. Because what the corporations are doing, these corporate officers who run these corporations, what they're doing is gathering up other birth certificates and putting it in a financial portfolio to sell it on the market as debt equity. Debt equity, that's what they're doing. So that's why you will see such a large, substantial amount of funds under that QSUP. But people don't know, Brother Mal, that the QSUP has two levels to it. You have what you call is a major QSUP number, and that's the billion-dollar pool that you will see. I don't care if it's mortgages, student loans, auto loans, credit cards, birth certificates, driver's license, marriage license, death certificates. I can go on and on and on. Whatever instrument that they put out there that they're underwriting, you're going to always see it conglomerately in a large pool. All right? But then you have... Then you have...
Is that what happened with the mortgages?
Same thing, brother. It's just, they're all commercial paper. All right? I don't want people to be thinking that what I'm saying is different with the mortgage and the birth certificate and the driver's license and the court papers, because even when you go to court, you can get the QSUP number on your docket number because the courts are underwriting your case, all right, and getting them securities and selling it on the market, all right? I don't care if it's a civil case or a criminal case. They're all doing it, all right? But I want to make mention of the lower level. It's called the minor QSUP number. The minor QSUP number is directly to your personal account, and that's where you're going to see your money. So you may see your money in the millions, but you're not going to see it in the billions, all right? The billions is where it's to a larger pool. The millions is to a smaller pool, all right, which is directly to your own account, all right? So my suggestion is people to get their QSUP number, and I can actually find the bond on your birth certificate because there's a bond connected to the bond, all right? Because the certificate, they're underwriting bonds on the certificate, be it marriage license, certificate of title, be it your house or your car, all right? All these commercial instruments, all right, that they're selling as debt equity. They're bonds connected to that. They underwrite these bonds by underwriters, all right? Insurance companies. It's all involved. This is what's going on, brother. We live in the bond age. And this is a bond market. So nothing changed, brother. Only thing they did was sophisticated. That conventional way of bondage, they have sophisticated it so much that now the chain don't have to be on your ankles and your hands. All right? The chain is on your mind and is on the paper. Paper in law means commerce and inequity. Paper in law and inequity means commerce, all right? Commercial, trade, business. That's what the word paper means because it becomes what you call, it's a transmitting utility. It's a vessel. It's a conveyance, all right? They use it as an assignment, all right? This is what they do with that paper, all right, brother? So it's very important how people be aware of that.
Wow, you said some strong stuff there. You've even used some strong terminology, and I don't know if we've gotten ahead of ourselves or I know some of that has went over some of our heads, but this is that age of information, and one of the issues that I do want to know, because there's so many men tied and hindered by this, is how do they get loose?
Well, when you said how to get loose, be more specific so I can give you a more articulate, clear response.
How do they get from out under this child support issue?
Oh, brother, that's simple, brother. That's simple. First of all, going into the courtroom is really the worst place to deal with that issue. It's the worst. Not to say you can't go that route, but that's a long, drawn-out process. It takes time. The judge goes rogatory on you. And the reason why the judge goes rogatory on you, and not only just in that family court, but any of these damn courts, all right? Because, again, like I'm going to tell you, like I tell a lot of people who call me and they dialogue with me, the courtrooms are being controlled by the Bar Association, all right? Like, for instance, the Bronx Family Court, if you go to the Secretary of State website and you type in as a corporate or business search, the Bronx Family Court Bar Association is what's going to come up, brother. So it's the Bar Association that is running these courts, and that's the reason why these judges be ruling against you. And technically, I call them MAGAs in black robes, because these are nothing but lawyers who are operating as judges. But it's the Bar Association that's actually sitting on the bench, brother. And I don't care what court it is. It can be a federal court, it can be a state court, it can be a municipal court, housing court, whatever court, family court, you just name the court. It's the Bar Association that is running these courtrooms, brother. And that's why we having problems, because that so-called judge, who's really a lawyer, is going to be ruling in the favor of that prestige law firm, because that's his or her associate from the bar, brother. So it's very important to be aware of that. But to answer your question, brother, what one should do, again, goes back to that QSUP number. Because when the Child Support Collection Agency, under which is called a Title IV D agency, they normally would submit what you call is coupons in the mail for you to make a payment. All right, add your payment, like a money order or a check or whatever, and you send that payment in to make your child support payment. That's one way that it happens. The other way, of course, you know, they garnish your check. You know how that works. All right, but that coupon is very, very important to have. I'm going to tell you why. Because at the bottom of that coupon is an account, just like a check. All right, and we can get the QSUP number on that particular account, and once you get the QSUP number on that account, we can get the bond. Once you get the bond, the fight is over, brother. The fight is over. Because it's the bondholder is who you're making the payments to. The principal and the interest is going to the bondholder. It's a debt equity. It's pass-through payments. So if you want to kill child support, brother, the most quickest and fastest way to do it is to get the bond, because everything is dealing with a bond. The court is just the middleman. They're just the bank. They're just they're in receivership. That's all they are. They're there to administer the trust. That's what they're there for. All right? And if you want to know what I'm talking about, I know this must fall over a lot of people's heads. Let me tell you where you can go for references. 26 U.S.C. 7701. That's the definition for the Internal Revenue Service, or the Internal Revenue Code, I should say. The Internal Revenue Code, the IRC, 26 U.S.C. U.S.C. is the United States Code, Section 7701, deals with definitions. That's where you should go. Any book that you come in contact with, I don't care if it's in law or in equity, always go into the glossary. Study the glossary or the definitions. Once you study the glossary and definitions, then you're going to open up your eyes to a lot of information that's contained within the pages of those chapters of that book. So 26 U.S.C. 7701, definitions. And you're going to see within there, in one of those sections, that the judge is an administrator of the trust. That's what he's there for. All right, brother? So the best way to conquer that issue with child support, brother, is to get the coupon, get the QSUP number on the coupon, purchase the bond, brother, and once you purchase the bond, that means you become the bondholder, and that's how you free yourself up, because, again, we live in a bond age system. So they got bondholders out there who are investing over you as a debtor to them. That's what's going on. So once you get that bond, brother, all right, that would be like your manumission papers, all right?
That bond is in your name? I mean, under registered under you?
Noble, the bond is not so much registered in your name. The bond is registered in the accounts, all right? Because they don't go by so much names, they go by accounts, all right? Like, for instance, the coupon that comes in the mail, all right? Yes, your name may be on that coupon, but then there's an account. But once you get the QSUP number, you ain't going to see your name. You're not going to see your name on that QSUP number to that account. So when you get the bond, you ain't going to see your name either. But that's all linked by accounts, all right? So they link every, like your Social Security, right? You have a card, right? Your name is on the card, but your name, but there's an account signed to your name, all right? But once you give the number up, they don't need no name. Once you give the number up, because the information is in the account, not in the name. The only thing the name does is to match to see if that's the person to that account. That's the only thing that the name says, because they're going to need that endorsement. All right? That's what that's about. The name is letters of credit. That's what that's about. But it's connected to the account. The account is the main source that you want to look at. The name is just to identify. Remember, I read something to you before, all right, concerning the certificate, all right?
Yes.
Remember, I was talking about to identify, you know, whatever the product is, whatever the designation. That could be height, weight, skin tone, your race, your ethnicity. They want to identify the product, all right, like an invoice, all right? Like an invoice in a warehouse. You have to give down a description of the product. All right, and that's the only thing the name is saying, is a description or the name of the product. So if you have a name, your name would consider to be the name of the property. You being the property, they're describing the property by name, and then that has an account to it. All right, Noble, so it's very important that I articulate and break that down, because it's all dealing in commercialism on paper.
Thank you. Thank you for breaking that down. Now, you said that the judges are the administrative law judge, so they're administrating your estate because you're incompetent or they consider you a minority, that you're not able to handle your own business affairs?
Let me go to the Black's Law Dictionary, and we're going to look up a word real quick, brother. Very important. And let me tell you what the word is called. It's called escheat. Escheat is E-S and then cheat, C-H-E-A-T. You know how somebody cheat you?
Yes.
Well, we're going to look at the word escheat. And when you look up the word escheat, it's going to say here that the reversion of land ownership back to the Lord when the immediate tenant dies without heirs. This is important to know. Without ears, all right? Because this is why Prophet Noble Jamali was so...
What's ears? Without ears, you said?
E-S-C-H-E-A-T. E like in Eric, S like in Sam, C like in Cat, H like in Harry, E like in Eric, A like in Apple, T like in Tom. S cheat, like for instance, cheat, like when somebody cheats you, so the only thing you're doing is put E-S on it, like the word estate. Well, this is SG. And when you read SG in law, it's a reversion of land ownership back to the Lord when the immediate tenant dies without ears. All right? So if you don't have an ear, right, they want to take back any inheritance from you. Now, once the moms sign over her endorsement on documents that gives the registered general to register the birth certificate, that is called an escheat, brother, because now there's no inheritance between the mother and the child, brother. This is some heavy stuff we're getting into, brother Mel. There's no...
Yes.
And how you know this is true? Because once mom passes, what the state wants the child to do, if the child is of age to handle quote-unquote such affairs, they want them to sign letters of administration to administer the estate, all right? And then whatever mom left behind, the child have to pay an inheritance tax to who? To the state under the doctrine of parent patria. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, brother, this is heavy, brother. So now you can see who died without ears. So why would you, as an ear, give someone else something that belongs to you? That's an escheat. That's an escheat. Reversion of property, especially real property, to the state upon the death of an owner who has neither a will nor legal ears. Brother, let me tell you something. You don't have a will. Don't let them people fool you. It says, oh, you have to fill out a will. What is a will, brother? A will is nothing but a power of attorney. And the attorney general has power of parent patria. So they got you filling out a will, making you look like as though you got a will. Come on, brother. This is what's going on. Look what these people are doing. This is nothing but a facade, brother. It's a sleight of hand. You got no ears. You got no will. All right? You got no power. So they're going to escheat you because of the fact that you cannot handle your own affairs. So it's important to be aware of the legal and financial terms that is being perpetrated against our people, because this is how these people keep us under duress. This is how they keep us under duress.
You're right. This is exactly how they're keeping us under duress. And I see the depression that is applied on the people financially, where they're so distraught that it drains their life force, their energy, and trying to get them back. They think that a job would do it, or to get more money. But what would bring them back to life?
Noble, let me tell you something. What would bring you back to life, brother? Well, first of all, even if you were to come back to life, your life is going to be in jeopardy, because we live in a society, a paper society. And so it's not so much of coming back to life, because you are alive and breathing. What happened is that we're living in a society that's dealing with fiction and nonfiction. All right? This is the reason why when I teach etymology, when it comes to parts of speech, Brother Mel, which is people is flabbergasted of how I teach etymology, when you begin to start looking at the now, right? N-O-U-N, the now. What do they classify as the now? Person, place, or thing? My question to those who's out there, because they never taught you in grade school, and this is the question for my brothers and sisters who is not analytical enough to see it, because we was too busy being assimilated and acculturated into a system that was spoon-feeding us to kill independent thought and action. Why would they put person in the same classification as property and thing? Because property, right, deals with real estate, and thing deals with personal. You got personal property and real property. But then they put the word person in the same classification as property and things. Why would they do that? And now, because they want to reduce us to property. That's why they grammatically use linguistic witchcraft to subjugate us, because when you look up the word person under 26 U.S.C. 7701, you go there. We're going to go there right now, Brother Mel. I'm going to go online, and I want to read this to our people out there who's listening, because they need to know this. They need to know this. Are we going to go to Google? And once that comes up, real quick. We're going to type in 26 USC 7701, and you're going to see definitions. All right? This is what you need to see. If you want to know what's going on, if you're dealing with anybody out there paying taxes, come and go to the section. Because I help people with the tax issues, too. Listen to what the first definition. Listen to what these devils are saying. When used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof. Number one, person. The term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation. This is what they're telling you. So again, I didn't learn this from reading this. I learned this through etymology. Again, a noun, as they tell you, is a person, place, or thing. Now look how they put the word person in the category of a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation. They're putting you in the categories of property and things, brother. And this is under 26 USC 7701. It's called definitions. Now, when you scroll down, listen to what they say under section 30. Listen to what they say. This is what they say under section 30. Under section 30 says United States person. So we already know what the word person is. So we already know that person gives you all those antonyms.
Yes.
Antonyms, because it's anti. It ain't a synonym, but they make it look like it's a synonym when it's an antonym, because that's something we got to study, because they're convoluting the dictionary with definitions of antonyms and synonyms, and they're convoluting it together, and then we are so confused of how to use that word properly. All right? So when you go to 26 USC 7701, section 30, United States person, right? Listen to what they say, a domestic corporation. You see? A United States person. So now, is this same language the same language in the 14th Amendment? Yes. All persons born and naturalized is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. All right? So you got the word what? In the 14th Amendment, person, and they got the word United States. That's what you got to look at. So now, if they got the word person and the United States in the same syntax, well, let's define that. And they did. They put United States person, 14th Amendment, domestic corporation. This is what they're doing. So now you know why your name is on the driver license, all capital letters, on the birth certificate, all capital letters, on your marriage license, all capital letters, on your certificate of title, all capital letters. Why? Because they domesticated you, brother, just like they did to us in that conventional slave trade market, brother. This is what them devils is doing. But listen to this. Now we're going to go under section E, 30E and I. Listen to what it says here. United States person, under E, any trust if I, a court within the United States is able to exercise primary, what? Supervision over the administration of the trust. You hear that? And
yeah.
I said E-I, but it's E Roman numeral 1, and then it's Roman numeral 2. One or more United States person having the authority to control all substances, decisions of the trust. You see what I'm saying, brother? So again, they're telling you who has control. Who has control? They're telling you right there, brother. So it's very important to know where we can reference this information, because this information is so important, because when they hit you with a penal law, right, and when you look in the penal law, in every state statute, be it civil or criminal, has it. What is it? The word person.
Yes.
Every state and civil statute, criminal or penal, all use the word person. So that means people are being classified as being domestic. Domestic. Matter of fact,
that's what we do with our dogs and cats. Domesticate them.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on, brother. Under the 14th Amendment, under 26 U.S.C. 165G, I found the definition for taxpayer. I have never heard nobody else find this but me, brother. And I heard all the gurus out there talk about it. Talk about this tax issue, but none of them ever defined the word taxpayer, and you're going to be exclusively hearing this live right on this show. Go to 26 U.S.C. 165G, and when you read it, it's going to tell you that a taxpayer is a domestic corporation. So when these IRS agents and representatives write to you, you notice they say, their taxpayer, the word taxpayer is